everyone, and welcome to Universal Energy Radio, the Some of You Show. I'm Anna B. And?
And I'm Lizzie Me. I don't know. The hell, Anna B. Whatever the show. Girl. Oh. Well, of course. And of course.
Let's breathe. We're going to breathe.
Girl, first of all, for those of you wondering, what have you done with Alisa? We didn't do nothing with her. She is...
We got her on ice.
Literally, she's on ice. That's funny. That's really funny. She literally is on a magical adventure with cousins, not Anna, because she's with me, visiting Iceland. So, of course... she's always missed, but the good news always for me is that Anna and I live such parallel, insane, chaotic lives that it seems lately the only time we get to catch up is when Alisa goes away and she subs for her, so I'm not mad. I am not mad, but of course, of all days, and then we're going to get right into it, of course, of all days, I don't want to get into the story, but last night was very rough. Thank the gods in heaven that everything is okay, and there really was a beautiful, miraculous outcome. But I'll just leave you with this snippet, and I'm glad you're taking the lead with the show, because I really feel like I got hit by a truck. So I'll just leave you with this snippet. Everything's fine. But at 1 o'clock this morning, I was getting out of my pajamas because I thought I had to go see the cops. Everything's okay. Yeah. So everything's okay. But Mom is just going to, like, sit a spell and drink her coffee and listen to Anna B. But everything's okay.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm a little shell-shocked, but I'm happy to be here with you.
I'm happy to be here with you, too. It's always... an awesome time to be able to catch up and also to raise our vibration.
As one needs to.
Time to raise the vibration.
All day.
Yeah, so...
There's a store for that.
You know, this is...
Just saying.
You know, still, there's still just a lot of shifting and a lot of changes and a lot of things going on.
Oh,
so,
my God. And evolving.
That is, you know... Yeah, it's constant. And I think in a lot of people's lives, it's very subtle, and they're not very aware of it because
just
it's
laughing.
Just little changes. You know? Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. You understand what I'm talking
about.
That's
why I'm laughing.
The shifts and the changes. Yeah, I mean, we both do. We're more the, hey, you know, we got hit on the head with a sledgehammer type of
all the
folks.
Time. Like our whole life.
All the time.
Yeah, you should do a square dance. Listen, you should get your hee-haw honeys, and you should record a square dance called just about like raising your vibe. I'm like, I'm dead serious. That it would be so, but you would call it out.
You know what? That's hilarious. Change.
No, I could see you doing it like as part of your comedy act.
Yeah.
You wear some coveralls, a straw hat, like have a piece of wheat in your mouth. Get your hee-haw honeys, you know, but you'll call them your vitamin.
Shift to the left, shift to the right, stand up,
take
sit
a
down.
Last shift
it's
to the right.
It's all going to be
and Josie,
all right.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you got to do that because you know me. I'm the idea whore. Boom. I could so see you do that. Anyway.
Yeah.
You can have Old Spice on the washboard or the jug.
Yeah.
Love you, Old Spice.
And again, she's around somewhere. So, you know, you change it. Here's the thing that I've been doing a lot of, obviously, introspective self-help stuff, if you will. Been listening to a lot of Mind Valley, if you're familiar with Mind Valley.
Of course.
If you're not, mindvalley.com. And
They're good.
And check out they've got free and paid stuff, and some of the stuff you can listen to through Mind Valley has just been incredible. I mean, this is a time. This is about working on self, and it's always about working on self. And we have, you know, we have kids, we have, you know, people around us that we have to interact with. So obviously there's a lot, there's always some shifting going on. There's always, and I will tell you, there's communication and there's miscommunication. And
all
I think
day.
a lot of what we are working on is it's verbal communication, but it's also energetic communication. What energy are we putting out in the world? Yeah. So, and we have to, we want to make decisions for ourselves. We want to make decisions that are going to move us in a direction that we want to go. And some of the things that obviously are happening to us, you have to take a moment and say, you know, show me how this gift, everything's a gift, right? Show me how this gift is moving me in the direction that I need to go. And sometimes it's frustrating because sometimes at 1 o'clock in the morning when you're jumping out of your jams thinking you got to go talk to the police, it's like, what? You know, what's going on?
Yeah.
And
but it is a gift, though.
Back in that.
There is a gift. There was a gift in the aftermath.
Well, there,
no, you're so right.
It's a gift. Yeah. Because after that, you're like, oh, okay, this is, it's turning out like this. The universe has my back. You know, give the universe, God, source, whatever we call the higher power, which is you, because we bring it. We bring it. Each and every single one of us bring it.
Yeah.
So we have to take full 100% responsibility for the situations, information, whatever is coming into our space. And I think that's the one thing that is tough for a lot of people out there. And they're like, I didn't do this. I didn't pay. It's not me, not me, not me. And I've been accused of, you know, you've got the victim mentality. It's like, no. I don't have victim mentality. I'm just becoming aware of the gifts. I'm just going to call the stuff the gift.
And what's no longer acceptable, which is a gift.
Yeah.
To be aware of that.
To me, it's not acceptable to me.
Right.
That's
your business. Right.
I don't want this in my space, or I don't want the energy in my space. And, or, let me just say this, there becomes an understanding of what has happened and why people are the way they are. Because, again, we'll go back to paradigms and the programming that we have as children that we get, which is so mixed up. You know, a child's being told one thing from a parent, another thing from a teacher, another thing from an aunt or an uncle, grandparent, whatever. Friends, everybody's got their own little thing, that the ingredient that they add. And that person becomes a person and has all of this information. And what do I do with it? Or how do I decipher all of this information? So one thing that I've realized is in order for us to be in this space and to be with each other in harmony, we must learn to communicate with each other. Not only verbally, but also energetically. We have to be able to shift. I'd say have to, you know, that's like a forced thing, but we want to be able to shift. When you get to the point when you want to shift, and it's not about being being abused or being a doormat or any of that. It's not shifting into allowing someone to be something to you that you don't want them to be. It's very observant of what feels good and what doesn't feel good to you. And you have to take that information and process it in a way that it moves you forward. And so, I tell you, it's so funny because, you know, I hear Source saying, you know, get back to where you were, but, and I hear Source
saying, remember who you are.
You know, start doing the things that you were doing back in, say, 2008, 2009, as far as spirituality. Start keying into that stuff. Go back to your journals. Read your journals. Mm. Go back to conversations with people. Go back to the spaces that are going to uplift you and move you in the direction that you want to go. And so, you know, that's all the stuff that I've been working on for myself. And I you kind of wish that for other people. You wish, I wish I could take you off the merry-go-round for, you know, a day or two.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
What a difference that would make. Yeah, wouldn't it be nice? We'd say, wouldn't it be nice?
Right.
And what does that mean, to take you off the merry-go-round, or take me off the merry-go-round, or take it? You know, so I was having a discussion with somebody the other day, and that's what we were saying. You know, if we could just stop. If we could just, but it's not. You never stop. In this human form, what does Abraham say? You never get it wrong and you never get it done. It's never
right.
going to be done. So where are you dog paddling to? You know, I'm like,
right.
where am I dog paddling to? You know, I have to be able to be okay with things being undone. And I've realized that's a big thing for me.
Yes,
I don't
it is.
Like things
yeah.
being undone. You know,
yeah,
right
too.
Now I'm doing some of Elisa's work for her business.
Right.
And it's an open-ended thing until everybody has their tour.
Right.
And then even on the tour, there could be an open-ended thing.
Sure.
I mean, one of the drivers right. messaged me the other day and said, you know, I'm driving a van and some of the seats won't lock down. It's like, what do you mean seats won't lock down? Well, apparently they must have taken the seats out to use it as a cargo van, and when they put the seats back in, they didn't lock them down. And so we're over here trying to figure out how to lock seats down.
Oh, my God.
You know, which is, in my head, I visualize a whole van of drunk people with loose seats, and so it makes the ride even more fun for them, you know. So, you know, I'm like, it could be a lot of fun. It could be an added bonus for the driver, the riders,
right.
you know. They could be, you know, enjoying the craziness of the ride up in the hills and all that stuff. But, you know, it's just, it's always this one thing and this one thing
always.
And this one thing.
Always.
And I also realize that if I expect the craziness to show up, it's going to show up. So I'm not going to expect it.
Exactly.
I'm going to just put an intent that everything runs smoothly. Elisa have a joyous time in Iceland. I don't have to bug her too much. I've already had to, you know, message her through Facebook to ask her a couple of questions. But it's like, but all is well. You know, for me, you know, I'm sitting in, I call it my storage facility. It's my room at my dad's, and have a lot of my stuff sitting in here in boxes still. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, wow, I need to, you know, it's always, I need to. And
right.
I'm like, no, you don't. It's
no, you
okay.
just need to be still.
It's okay.
So you're in Alabama. So because we haven't caught up. Okay. So
right.
you're in Alabama mm-hmm. at your dad's, and what's happening with the house in Atlanta?
It's on the market. It's
oh,
up for
snap.
Sale. So
oh my God.
Anybody want a house in Atlanta? Yeah, big, beautiful house for
That's
sale.
It's a beautiful house. I'm glad I got to go there a couple of times. My goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, I said, well, if it doesn't sell by the end of the year, I just might move back in. You know, I'll figure
okay.
it out.
Okay. How long?
Yeah, no, I cleared everything out. I still have stuff in the garage there, but everything's
wow.
out. Everything's been cleaned up. We've got, you know, new paint, new carpet upstairs, and, you know, just fixed a bunch of internal
sure.
cosmetic things, and you know how it's been upgraded. I mean, we certainly did all that good stuff, and so it's a nice house, and it's in an area that we call that's the next step for urban squall in Atlanta. So it's transitional right now. So that's what's I think holding. It's only been on the market less than a month. So
oh, wow.
A lot of folks are coming in and they're looking at it and they're like, you know, nice house, but crazy neighborhood. And, you know, that's what you're going to get right now in that
right.
area. But I will tell you, if you don't grab my, you know, that's the thing. It's like, man, it's a primo spot in Atlanta right now.
Right.
And that's the crazy part, because it's like, oh, my gosh, this house, it's just going to shoot up in value because of everything that's going on in there. You know, it's investment-wise, for me, I was like, oh, my gosh, you know.
Can I just hold on for a couple of years? Yeah.
Can I just hold on? Yeah. Yeah, that was my thing. But I was literally forced to sell the house. I was forced to sell the house. And it just, you know, the house was paid for. It was done. It was, you know, it was ready to always. We're doing taxes and insurance and so literally had the county that I live in serve me and say, you know, you've
wow.
got to sell the house. So because she wants half of it, and
there you go.
You're not I wasn't negotiating on her terms. She didn't accept my offer, so she sued me. So there you go. Well, I mean, you know, it happens, and
yeah.
I think I was in shock about that for a while.
Yeah.
You know, just in the whole thing, like, wow, somebody that you know, and then I have to go back to, you know what, Liz, it's stuff. It's just stuff.
Yep. It's not
you
that
know,
deep.
It's not that deep. Yeah. So that's the thing. It's like, wow, it's just stuff. And so when, you know, people get all, you know, bent out of shape over stuff.
know,
and
it's
things
gross.
And what
divorce,
what is, yeah,
people
what is
die,
it?
The aftermath.
Yeah.
It's when people,
yeah,
it's when you really see some ugly.
Yeah.
That's when you really see, it's, oh, and it's rampant. You, yeah, you, let a crisis happen and see the true nature of people around you come out. It's,
yeah,
surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you, well, what I found to be true, and not to be, yeah, it is true because it was communicated, is we were, when you don't, when you don't know yourself, okay, when every person doesn't know themselves, and what I mean is you've lived your life for a husband, a wife, your children, your parents, you've lived your life to please another group of people.
Yep.
You've lived your life to try to be the end all and be all to somebody.
Yep.
I think that that's what happens, and people just at some point we're all coming out of our little chrysalis, you know, and becoming butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at that point you have to realize the only way that you're going to be able to be a butterfly is to break away and do your own thing and be the people that you're supposed to be. And you're seeing that a whole lot. At least I'm seeing it a whole lot. And we're talking about people with their ways of being, sex and sexuality, trans people. I see more trans people these days, and there's more awareness of trans people, and maybe it's because I'm in that community and I see that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you have comments like, you know, why can't that person be a regular lesbian or a regular gay man?
Oh my God.
Why do they have to, you know, change who they are? And it's like, because at the core of who they are, they're not seeing it in the mirror. They're not being that. And now you're seeing
right.
them. I met a 10-year-old little trans girl.
Mm.
And I thought, as a parent, I think 10 years old, 10. And mm. she is beautiful and fierce and wonderful. And her mother is amazing.
Thank
and
God.
It's so interesting to me. And these parents, they're so beside themselves. They're, you know, the law, I mean, I'll tell you what, the number one, now I'm still a resident of Georgia, and I still, you know, try to help and try to pay attention to some of these laws for the LGBT
mm-hmm.
community. And I was talking to a lawyer, an LGBT lawyer, some time ago, and she was saying that the biggest issue they have in Georgia is bathrooms in the school. And I'm thinking to myself,
oh my God!
Can you imagine?
No.
I'm like, you're wasting time over bathrooms in the school. He said, yeah, because they're not gender neutral. A lot of the restaurants in the city and stuff are becoming gender neutral bathrooms.
Yes, yes.
And that just means
yes.
anybody can go in. And they want to. They're working on trying to figure out how to make gender neutral bathrooms in schools. Or, you know, so I get it, the parent, and see, it's the parents. The parents are in an uproar because they're all, you know, my kids, my little boy's not going in the girls' room, the girls' not going in the boys' room. So there's a lot of issues now that a lot of the schools in different areas are making headway with these trans kids that are coming out early, right? So they're giving them, like, their own bathroom or giving them a place that they can be
right.
safe. So
right.
when you have the conversations, back to the conversations of communication, you will find that, you know, a lot of these parents in these groups are, they're advocates for their children, and they're like you. You're a fierce mommy. You're going to
mm-hmm.
step up for your kid, and this is
all
what
day.
They're doing. And I see that.
Right.
I've met these parents, and they're amazing. And to me, and I have seen my kids. I will tell you that. I have spent the past several, I didn't spend last weekend with them, but the past 3 weekends I've spent with them, and
oh,
I will spend
amazing.
This weekend with them. Well, most of it. I probably have to drive a tour for Elise on Saturday, but I'll be with them probably Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at least.
Oh,
yeah. So it's trying to
finally.
Ease back into that. and back to communication, we are communicating with each other, which is great. We're it's like we were together for so many years, but this is a new skill for us and how
right.
to.
Oh, I understand.
And I'm not going to say tip. You know, I'm not going to say tiptoe around because I don't want to tiptoe around anybody.
No.
I want to be able to be who I am, and have that person understand me. Now, what I found out, and now we've done some group therapy, the two of us.
Oh,
because we have, you know, we've got to get this unified front for our kids. You know, we've got to get this. We've got to get down. We don't have to be friends, and I would like to be friends if that's possible.
Right.
We don't have to be friends, but I'd like that. And so, you know, having the conversations. But I will tell you that I don't know if I told you this, but I learned so much about her and her perspective of how she was trying to be in this relationship. In therapy, and I had no idea that those were her thoughts, and that's what she was thinking. So if you have those thoughts and that's what you're thinking, of course the energy is going to be, you know, kind of sporadic and crazy, and, you know, because it's what you energetically put out there. So if you're not feeling whole and complete and worth something in your relationship,
And
you're not going to put that whole and complete and that worth information or energy out into the world.
Did it
not
make you
alone.
Feel
now,
more free to have that understanding for you?
It did.
Mm-hmm.
I cried. I was like, I had no idea because I stand in my own shoes, right? I mean, I think one of the things we talked about was when we first got together, I was already in business. I had, you know, I had established, you know, my life. I had some stability. I had stuff, you know, and so she came
into
my
life. You were
a grown-up. And I was a grown-up, and she was just learning who she should have been learning who she was, but instead she was adapting to me because I had the business. So it was like, oh, she wanted to be around me, so she was going to adapt to whatever I wanted her to be. And in relationships, we have to realize that it's two independent people. The two, you know, our therapist, Susan, just, you know, some of the stuff that she comes up with, some of the stuff was interesting, but some of the stuff she was talking about really made sense to me. Like, you've got to be two independent people. And that relationship lands in the middle of that. So you can't have one person who's got, and I don't want to say get it together, because who really has it together, right?
Nobody, right?
So we've got this bubble of containment of who we are, and we're, you know, out in the world doing our thing. And then as two people coming together, we connect. And so that connection should be an equal thing and not lopsided, like one person is kind of hanging off the other bubble, you know. And so in my head, visually, this is what I'm thinking. And so that's what happens. And I know in relationships, once you grow and expand, and some things happen. I mean, I know people who've, you know, one spouse loses their job, the other spouse picks up the pace, or one spouse, you know, I was talking to my big brother, Bob, last weekend. We got to spend the weekend together. And he was saying, you know, when his kids were born, his wife decided to stop working and take care of the kids. So they were full in agreement. They worked it out. They figured it out. He worked, she stayed home with the kids, and that's how it worked, you know? And so until the kids were old enough to kind of do their thing, but she was basically the soccer mom, you know, did all the stuff. So in relationship, when you come in together in relationship and you're two independent individuals and you connect and you can be there for each other and be strong for each other, I think that makes a very healthy relationship. Now, when you have, and I was not aware of any of this, but I love how this applies to everybody, because so many people get in relationship and one person says, oh, that person's got money, or that person has whatever, and I like that, and I don't have that, so I'm going to go after that, which is not, that does not make a relationship.
Nope.
And so every person, you know, even if you're in the process of working on yourself, and that's great, be stand in your own shoes and be your own person to be able to You know, and I would say it's probably easier said. It's probably, you say it, but it's not that easy to do necessarily, because we're not reading the thoughts of the other person. We're, you know, I saw a person who was bright and in the middle of her education and, you know, all these things. And it's kind of funny that my former partner, who kind of pointed out, like, my pattern is I do help people. This is something that I do. And I've been told over the years that sometimes I help people to the detriment of myself. And I didn't realize what that meant until you're basically carrying people, you know,
yeah.
You're carrying them.
Yep.
I mean, my thing is now is if you're not my child, I'm not carrying you.
Thank you.
You know,
all
yeah,
day.
I want to carry.
Oh, got to shut it down.
Carry
yep.
my kids, whatever I have to do.
That's right.
To make sure that my kids, you know,
that's
right
it.
Now my kids are my priority.
Yep.
And Steph happens to be my kid's mom.
There
so
you go.
If something, if now in communication, if something's not working out and we are talking and she's talking about something she's dealing with or something that has to be handled, and if I can handle it, I stepped up yesterday and handled something for her, that as a downline, it affects my children.
Sure.
So if I see that whatever it is, affects my children and I can step in and help and she
that's
allows
great.
That, then I will do it because
yeah.
that is what a parent, that's what a parent
does. That's parenting,
does.
Yes,
you
yes.
know, that's parenting,
that's
even
progress.
Though it might not, right, it might, it is, I mean, tremendous progress and it really
yeah.
had to be a stepping back and saying, you know, what is all of the, you know, what is all of this? And you know what, again, I had to get through the stuff part. And what I mean is, you know, you're taking my stuff. You're taking what, you know, and really it wasn't, I mean, I love the house. And at the same time, it's about the memories, which aren't the people that aren't there. So
right.
I don't really want it. I don't want to stay in the house. I mean, it would, yeah, it's like, it's done. That whole part is done. So now it's about releasing it and moving on.
Right.
So I feel like in the past several months that I've pitched a few fits, but I'm sure I've grown.
All day.
Like, yeah. So I'm finding it's easier now. I mean, the most, probably the not easiest part is driving, you know, 5 hours back and forth. And,
wow.
But it's okay. It's temporary. And I get to spend a tremendous amount of time with my father, which is fantastic.
Beautiful.
Just beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love him. He's amazing.
Uncle Tony.
And,
I'm still heartbroken,
yeah.
but that's okay. He married somebody else. My summer love.
Oh, right.
Right.
He had a little fender bender.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he's fine. He just, the car just had a little, a few things happening to it now. So I'm kind of hoping that it'll be handled before I go back to Atlanta on Thursday. So, he's got a motorcycle. He's got his bike here so he can handle
Uncle Tony
that.
Ain't playing.
He can't take the, he ain't playing. He's,
nope.
like,
love me some Uncle
that's
Tony.
That's my dad, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we know
yeah,
what, the apple did not fall far from that tree at all.
I know Bob was saying that. He's like, man, you're like Pops. We call him Pops, Papa B.
Aww.
You are just like Pops. He goes, you look like Pops. And you know, I said, yeah, we walk alike. We talk alike.
Right,
said,
right.
Yeah. He's like, you look like your dad. I said, yep, I do. I sure
that's,
do.
That's
except
a
he's
good,
got,
that's a
he
good
has
thing.
No hair. Yeah. You know, my mom used to tell me that. You act just like your father. I'm like, oh, thank God.
Right. Oof. Oof.
That is
great.
He is unconditional, though. My dad is very unconditional. He is very loving, and he's so kind. And, you know, with Bob here this weekend, I think, you know, Bob just, he's, you know, comes in and, you know, he makes himself at home. He's one of the kids. Doesn't matter. Dad's just
well,
thrilled
it's
to have him
here. It's a piece
here,
of your mom.
You know?
It's a living
yeah.
piece of your mom. Beautiful.
He looks like my mom. I mean, we're just, I'm
staring
at him. And so, yeah, so it's really cool to have him here. And he and I, you know, we would run errands because we were doing some work for Dad. So we're, you know, going to the Home Depot and, and taking care of some things. And he and I were talking and, you know, he's like, man, your dad's amazing. I go, yeah, he is, you know. He goes, he's just so cool. It's like, yeah, it's like he's open-armed and he's accepting and he's allowing. And he just, you know,
that's
when we
great.
Go through our stuff, he kind of steps back. And when we need him, he's there.
Of course.
And so,
yeah.
You know, he's just a great guy. And he's just very unconditional and easygoing, just easygoing,
yeah.
You know. So, and I feel like for the most part, I have been that way. Now, maybe now that some stuff has happened, I'm kind of like being a little more particular about
good.
People and stuff and time.
Boundaries.
And, you know, it's
mm-hmm.
like, it's boundaries. Boundaries,
energy.
That's huge.
All day.
Yeah.
I am the queen of the boundaries. No is the best word ever written in the English language. No. Yeah. Takes
but
care of
no.
everything. So efficient.
Yeah.
So efficient, you just need two letters. No. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So now it's really just paring down what I have and figuring out what my next steps are. I've been fortunate enough to be able to do some consulting work, which was great. And then I'm still, you know, I'm still running T-shirts and promotional stuff, which is great. I just get somebody else to do it, which is great.
Nice.
Like,
nice. You farm it out.
It just
good.
Gets handled. Yeah,
right.
I just farm it out. It just gets handled because I know, you know, I know enough people now in the industry that just make some phone calls and send some emails and I trust them, you know, so
right.
That's been great. I've been able to just work on self, you know, really, really work on self and want to learn. I mean, I'd like to learn a little bit of tarot. I've been playing around with that.
Oh, that's cool.
And, yeah, and it's something that I never understood it, and I still kind of don't, you know. I'm in awe of the reading. I think what I don't understand is how everything stacks up, you know. So how when they do the card readings, when you're doing a multiple card reading, and how things are in a certain place and how it relates, and that's
the pattern,
the stuff that I
right.
want to
learn. The order, the pattern,
patterns.
Like the technique.
Yeah, like a certain card lands by a certain card, you know, what is the meaning of that? So, yeah, so I got this app, this tarot app, and I've been kind of playing with that a little bit, but it doesn't go, right now it doesn't go into full blown detail of why this reading, you know, but, and I think there's going to be some common sense stuff that when I see it, you know, I see it on my phone when I do the app. And I'll tell you, because it's a free app, it's kind of cool. It's called Golden Thread or something like that. Golden Thread. Yeah. So, but that's really cool. You know, it's just a different, and something different. So there are all these choices that I'm looking at because, you know, once the house sells, I was like, I'm looking for a little bit of land maybe just to hold. And then I thought about traveling a little bit, but I want to do things like maybe go to either shaman school or get my degree in metaphysical counseling or, you know, so something
mm-hmm.
like that. I'm still moving towards that side, you know, of spirit that says come this way. And, you know, because I'm like, really, this is how you had to get me to move in that direction.
Yeah. Well, that's very interesting that you say that, because what has been so incredibly helpful is that I am now getting counseling by phone, finally. I've had 4 sessions, but it's with a trainee. As a spiritual counselor. Isn't that funny that you're saying
oh,
this
wow.
to me?
Yes.
No, this is crazy. I'm like, girl, isn't
yeah.
that funny? I haven't talked to you in 150 years, but okay. So a teaching that I really appreciate, but I appreciate the teaching and I love it so much, but in terms of really diving in to formally study it, perhaps mm-hmm. not right now, but maybe in the future, but I really am appreciating and have since everything fell apart with my marriage, Course in Miracles. And the reason why Course mm-hmm. in Miracles appealed to me, because I've heard about it, Marianne Williamson, it's been around forever, since the 70s, whatever, but I never really paid much attention. But the one thing that I knew, the main component with A Course in Miracles, is that its cornerstone is teachings based on forgiveness. So nobody wants to get divorced. Nobody wants to break up a family. Nobody wants to fight for their lives. Nobody wants to go through 2+ years of trauma. That would be me. Nobody, I mean, look, last night I was going to, you know, go out in the cold at 1 o'clock in the morning to, like, talk to the cops. So clearly, you know, things are better, but things are, you know, as a custodial parent, things are crazy. That's just what you said. There's, we can't get off that carousel as much as we'd love to.
Right.
Okay. So before I made the definitive decision of that fork, well, being at that fork in the road, and it's like, work it out, work out the marriage, make this work, because you really don't want to get divorced. Not so much like, oh, I can't live without this person. Clearly, that wasn't the reason. But I didn't want to go through the BS. I didn't want to go through what I'm going through now and what I've been going through
right.
for almost 2 years now. And it's incredibly
right.
challenging and painful and hard, and it's tough to be a single mom and everything else. But I knew what I had to do. So before mm-hmm. I made that final decision, I'm like, what's that teaching that's all about forgiveness? let me do a little peruse, right? So
mm-hmm. yeah.
I started studying it a little bit, but things got so chaotic that I started listening to podcasts and started finding peripheral ways of getting the same information, because I can't
right.
formally study something right now when I didn't know where I was going to live last year. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and the babies and everything else, the kids. So I started listening to this podcast. I might have sent you a link a while ago. This woman named Jennifer Hadley, and she's jenniferhadley.com. So anyway, I love her, and I listened to her podcast, and probably at like 2 in the morning when all was well in my household, and I'm like, should I text Anna? No, I'm going to do a show because I want to talk to her. I'll be fine. I could show up any which way with the show, with Alisa, with you, and reap the therapeutic benefits, even though I feel extra crispy two-piece and biscuit spicy. So when investigating So I listened to the podcast last night, and I heard exactly what I needed to hear. And then I'm going to go back mm-hmm. to the spiritual counseling. So what I needed to hear was that her theme yesterday or whatever, when I heard it, I don't know when it was aired, was going from darkness to light, right? And
yeah.
when you're shifting from darkness to light, let's say you're in a cave for whatever reason, for a couple days or whatever, and it's the next morning, and you get out of the cave, and there's a bright sunlight. That can be kind of painful to go from that darkness
yeah.
where your eyes adjust, right? Your eyes adjust.
Mm-hmm.
You're used to feeling your way
mm-hmm.
around in the darkness. You don't stumble anymore. And then all of a sudden you crawl your way out of the dark cave into the blazing sun. So it is the dark moving into the light. And what was so miraculous last night or this morning, when everything got resolved, we actually had a call into Reverend Adam, because he's like the SWAT team, the spiritual SWAT team. And I was talking to spirit. I was talking to angels. I was calling on my people. I knew that my son was okay, but as a mother, I needed that he was home and safe at 1 o'clock in the morning on a cold New York City night. Like, you just don't do that. And all the big guns, and what was so miraculous was that he actually had a dialogue with Reverend Adam, and my son has rejected all kinds of therapy. And the fact that I even got some insight. When you were talking about being in therapy with Stephanie, and you getting that clarity because you heard her voice, her experience in the relationship. I went through the same exact thing with my child, where certain behaviors, it was a means of shutting down. It wasn't being disrespectful.
Right.
So that clarity, and there was the mirror.
Right.
And so I fall asleep listening to this podcast, hearing that. I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But anyway, so I've been a fan of this podcast and her bells and her whistles, and she has a lot of free content. So she does, I think it's like a week in North Carolina. Girl's not far from you. She does.
We should go.
Girl, listen to this. So she does, like, I'm going to send you her link. She does a week training for spiritual counseling intensive. The real heavy lifting is for the counselors in training. They have to accumulate hours, and then the clients, so I'm a client, every time we have a session, we submit a one-page evaluation that gets emailed to us. And my therapist, her name is Vanessa. She's based in California someplace. She starts every session with the prayer. And why I chose her, because I have people's profiles, is because it's the best of both worlds. She's a clinical psychologist. She's been in family counseling. She's worked with kids, whatever, whatever. And in her life now, she wanted to get that credential because now she's leading through a spiritual light-based filter. So what's so fabulous, instead of like, I know when this happened when you were a kid and that and the other, and of course that's all important, but what I like about this, it's efficient, right? So every session starts out with a prayer. I'm like, bring it. So she does this beautiful prayer that's, of course, non-sectarian, but a beautiful calling to source, spirit, whatever, unifying our energies. And then what I love with every session, she, as we're connecting and she's doing the prayer, it's almost like a little meditation. So then the space arises for me to state the intention that I would like to have for the session. So one intention recently, I said, I want to react through the filter of forgiveness and compassion first and foremost when I respond. So I'm not reacting, I'm responding. That I take that breath before I communicate with anybody, that I give myself the grace of that breath, that there's the filter of forgiveness and compassion. Whether it's for myself, for others, it doesn't matter because it's universal. It's non-exclusive. It's all access. And I am so grateful. And I said, so listen, what's going to happen when your hours are up? Because it's on a love donation. So I can afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And she's like, oh, it's at least until the end of the year. And she goes, oh, you're not going anywhere. So I know, you know, I'm a New Yorker. I always work out a deal. So I'm going to work out a deal.
Yeah,
but I'm going to send you the link because that's something that won't take a lot of time, but also in terms of teaching philosophy, I feel it's so supportive and expansive to what resonates with you because I know what resonates with me. And why would I still meet you at a memorial service for Source Energy Radio, 10 years ago, 9 years ago? At least I just celebrated our 8-year anniversary on the air, so it means I know you longer than that. You know what I mean? And I'm so grateful to you that this space still exists. So interesting that that's what you're thinking about, and that's what I'm newly experiencing. Crazy.
Yeah. I think with you know, the past, again, we, our experiences have paralleled not only in time, but what has happened. The players are different, but the things that have happened in our experience. And that's, to me, that's a very visceral, a very physical situation, all of that. And so coming back to this, and actually I talked about Bob because, you know, Bob, and for those who don't know, I found out on Mother's Day that I had a brother that was given up for adoption. My mom had given him up for adoption. And so
something else we have to parallel.
Like, he's full blown. He's just full blown in our lives now. I mean, he's in.
That's beautiful.
We're meeting his kids on Thanksgiving. I've met his wife. She's fabulous.
Oh, that's great.
So, and they're very, and so loving and accepting. And I will tell you that he tells the story of how he was raised a racist. He was absolutely raised a racist, and it took his children.
Oh, how funny that his sister is brown. That's funny.
Yeah, I know, right? He shows our
pictures
to his friends and says, "Look, these are my brothers and this is my brother and two sisters." And they're like, "What?" You know. So, because he's a white guy, and he says, "You know, I was raised this way, and it took my children to help me shift my perspective." So we have these really kind of wonderful, you know, he's a man of God, you know, he really is, and he. But he's told me, you know, the stories of, you know, his kids and who their friends are and how, you know, they've had to shift who they are as parents because, you know, children, I will tell you, when they're little, they are really little beings of source and they are so unconditional and loving. Most of them are. I really haven't met any ones that are, you know, already have formed these really heavy duty opinions, right? So. They're just very open and loving, and they, you know, they talk to whomever they talk to, and they play with the kids, and they don't differentiate between, you know, short, tall, you know,
yeah,
whatever it is, purple, white, blue, whatever color they are, you know, it doesn't matter. Kids are generally very unconditional, and we can learn from that experience.
But yeah,
and so with Bob,
he said,
you know,
yeah, right,
yeah. And then now we're talking about, you know, the experience with my sister and, you know, because our sister's older. So, you know, there's a whole story behind all that. So, you know, Bob was in between me and my sister. So he was given up for adoption. And so my dad is my biological father and my brother, my younger brother's biological father now. So we found out that Mom really had it rough and not super, super positive experiences growing up. And so there's a lot that we don't know, but we're putting some pieces together and
sure.
Some things that I've talked to my aunts about. And she had a really not easy upbringing and when she was a child. And so there's some things that happened to her that I had no idea about. And
wow.
So this has been, but we're talking about healing. I want to bring it
yes.
back around. No, Bob.
Yes,
Bob,
yes.
Bob was saying, you know, for him, he still doesn't know who his dad is, and for him, finding us has been such a blessing. And you know, he's beyond. He says, I'm just beyond in awe of the gifts that I've received this year. And he said, I was trying to look for my health history, and I got so much more. I got this whole family. Watch what you ask for, Bob, right? Because
right.
His question was, did anybody know that I existed? You know, and we're like, no, are you kidding me? If we knew, we'd hunt you down. I mean, that was it. Like, we can't, and I can't believe, like, I can't believe she never said anything, never talked about it. Not to us now, you know.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, so very interesting. And so for my sister as well, even though she did find her biological father, and she does have six other brothers and sisters.
Oh, my God.
Who are all wonderful and loving. And again, the family extends out.
Beautiful.
These folks are, these guys are unconditional and loving and caring. And finding Bob, I think, has started another segment of healing. That
yes,
beautiful. Somewhat for me too. I mean, not
sure.
I had my puzzle. I say, well, look at it this way. I had my puzzle pieces.
Right.
Tony and I tried to, and I back in the day when we were going to meet my sister's biological dad, my brother got a little bit upset, and we sat down, and I just said, you know, it's we have ours. We've always known who Mom and Dad are. We've always known.
Right.
We've always
right.
been stable in that. And I said, but Rose never had this, so. Let's, you know, let her, anyway, when her biological father was alive, he did come to Atlanta and he met my brother. And it's so funny. Frank wasn't even, he was like 5 foot, I don't know, 3, 4. He was a little man.
Okay. That's funny.
My brother's 6 foot. my brother's 6 foot 4. Brother's 6 foot four.
Oh my
and
God.
He went up to my brother. My brother was, you know, my brother's a sweet man as well. And he and his wife walk in, and at first he was just, you know, because this is her family from her biological father's side. If we were at her house, and then Frank, her dad, her biological dad, went up to my brother and basically hugged him. Of course, his face landed in his belly, you know, like.
Oh, just, that's so funny.
And he's patting him on the belly. He's like, "I'm so proud of you, you doctor, oh. you." You know, and I could see the ice melting off my brother. I love him already. You know, my brother's a chiropractor, and he's very successful, and he's just a good person, and he helps people out, and he does all these things. And of course, my sister had been talking about him, and so when Frank met him, you know, he melted the ice, and it was great. And Tony was Tony, and it was good. You know, so
that's beautiful.
But you have, and you have experiences like that, and your family. You know, you think you got this. I remember a bit young, not even thinking about it. And then everything gets crazy and you're like, what do you mean? You know, you're not my sister. You know, my sister, she would get angry and she'd say things like that. And so it's like,
yeah. Oh, I know.
You know, I remember as a kid and you didn't understand it, but as an adult, we're starting to put pieces together, we're putting puzzle pieces together and we're figuring this out. And then Bob shows up and, you know, one thing after another, and you're just like, wow, this, you know, how strange. All, and I tell you, it's the DNA stuff, the ancestry DNA. So
right.
If anyone listening out there, this thing is going to blow some doors wide open. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, it might happen with me and my son too, you know.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Down the road, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, I don't know. Yeah, so you do that and you get these connections. So it's up to everybody to figure out. I mean, I know some people who have not had great experiences or had knew that they were out there and reached out and just said, no, we don't want to connect. And
yeah,
it's
that's
like,
a risky take.
And I get it. At the same time, you know, people are curious about their heritage or their,
right.
One of my mom's sisters was over here yesterday for probably almost 2 hours, and we pulled it up on the internet. And she is obsessed with history and all the documents and stuff like that. It kind of, I'm like, whoa, I couldn't sit here and go through all this stuff. But she has the story. She's the story keeper for the family. She can tell you stories about different members of the family and being young and going to, you know, her uncle's house and the cousins and, you know, and how, you know, she was upset. She's like, they've got their name spelled wrong. Like, she knew how to spell their name.
Wow.
And it's like, and they're funny names too, you know. But, you
I'm
know,
sure.
It's like everybody has their passion, has their thing. And I will tell you, there's a lot of healing that will be taking place in this world. And I think it has to start, it all has to start with each and every single one of us, and get ourselves in a place where we are happy with ourselves. We're happy with
right.
who we are. We're happy with our lives, and know that stuff is going to happen. It always does. And be able to move through that and not get
yep.
stuck and mired in it, you know? Yeah.
All day. Yep. Wow. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But I will check out your spiritual coach. And yeah, I was thinking I'd do some sort of retreat, you know, just really everything's cleared out, just really clear some
okay.
space.
Girl,
yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, girl.
Okay.
So
okay.
The other things, and it might have been the last time we talked, which was for, I think, the summer. I mean, seriously, because, you know, you and I have been a little chaotic. But I'm going to send you the website. What changed everything for me in terms of not remaining in wellness, because this girl's not going to
mm-hmm.
get sick. I did a one-on-one retreat in Albuquerque, New Mexico that was life-changing. And now I'm friends with this girl. Okay? Life-changing.
Well, that's right.
And let me tell you, I'm going to send you her link. And let me tell you something, Teresa Crozier. And she, oriented medicine, herbalist, acupuncturist, amazing, amazing. For what you'd pay for an Airbnb, okay, you get that plus your meals plus the private retreat plus every. I'm telling you, I can't wait to go back.
Oh,
I cannot. I'm gonna. Yeah, it's so affordable. She's for the people, by the people, about the people. So I'm going to send you her link, and you tell her I sent you. Life-changing. Now, remember how I used to lose my balance and fall because my brain would shut down?
Yeah, and I fell
10 times, and I fainted twice in a span of 1 year. I haven't even tripped since I saw her.
Wow.
And that was in July. Like,
wow.
Yeah, miraculous. And affordable. You don't have to pay $3,000 a week, whatever. You pay what you would pay for an Airbnb to get everything that you get. And you go to her beautiful house. You give her the phone because no technology for 3-4 days, however long that you want it. And boom, it's about you getting what you need and letting somebody take care of you. And I love acupuncture, but I was so traumatized with the anxiety and the PTSD and everything else. There was a year that I couldn't even have my kids touch me. I just couldn't be touched. I had so much anxiety and panic attacks all the time, and I had one last night because, you know, for old time's sake. But anyway, so when she has her private acupuncture practice in her home, so this is a proper clinic situation, clinical setting.
Yeah.
And she's so gentle that I felt safe enough to get that first experience of acupuncture after, you know, being so traumatized and not allowing myself to be touched or feeling safe enough to be touched, that it was like it was an exorcism. I mean, I literally was jumping off the table sobbing.
Mm.
And she was just holding me. Yeah, because I felt safe.
Yeah.
I felt safe. And now we talk all the time and we've become friends. And so she found one of her former students who's based in New York, who I see now on a regular basis for acupuncture because it's been helping me. But, yeah, you talk about retreat, look no further. Look no further. I'll send you her link. And the thing is, you want a personal referral. And if you go on her website on the testimonials, when you see Liz NYC, that would be me.
Mm.
You can read my
okay.
Yeah, I'm going to send that to you. Oh,
okay,
my
cool.
God. That's crazy. Yeah, so we're like two for two with the things you're thinking about.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I'm so wanting to jump into you just some spiritual stuff. And before we go off the air, though, I do want to shout out to Raven Spirit. She's been hanging out with us in the chat room. So just want to shout out. We had a couple more folks in there, I think, but they've now stopped listening, or they've listened somewhere else. So hopefully they will continue to listen or come back at some point. But download the podcast. Yeah. Yeah, just getting back to self. It really is. And I think I would hope that every person would have an opportunity to do that. And just whatever for me, it's like, what is your curiosity? You know, I am doing some consulting work in my industry, which is the print industry. And that's been fun. And at the same time, I'm like, you know, part of me wants to go meditate on a mountain for a minute, you know? So,
yeah.
All good. Well, that's our show. Wow. We chatted it up.
Let's
do this Thursday. How about it?
Doing it. So if you guys want to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. Please like Universal Energy Media on Facebook and check out the great shows, hosts, and programming available to you. And this particular show will be back on the air this coming Thursday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. Love you so much. So great to reconnect with you. Love to Uncle Tony and Old Spice. And as always, to brighter days ahead, and let the light do the work. Love you.
Love you. Talk to you soon.
Bye, baby. Bye.
Tell me something good. Tell me that you love me. Yeah. Tell me something good.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.